Welcome, everybody, to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire Danganronpa series, one murder at a time. I am the ultimate host, Kyrie.
I'm the ultimate podcaster, Jennifer. I don't know why I shouted that, but I need to get my head back in the game somehow.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, we haven't recorded this podcast for a month. Yeah. It's the ultimate in awkward pauses. Which, anyway, that's me. I'm an S.
I'm the ultimate podcaster with dignity.
And here's an awkward pause, just for you.
That's me. I'm Jackie Platt. I don't need this.
I actually wasn't done talking yet.
Oh, geez. Well, that sucks for you, Inez, because we are moving on.
Left in the tank. I'm just going to sprinkle them in.
Well, save them.
I'm going to continuously talk over them. I hope you understand that.
You bet I will.
Okay, that's good, because I'm going to just talk over you every chance I get.
Today we covered the daily life section of Chapter 1 of Super Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair. Jen, why don't you go ahead and hit us with the recap of the daily life section?
Okay, one moment. I just see collect myself. Okay,
no,
no, we do this. We do this
why
instantly.
Did you do this to me? Okay,
the time has come. So have I.
Listen, you all played the
we
game.
Need to
why would we have to recap
to you summarize
it for you?
The game?
Okay,
recap your own damn game.
Okay, shortly after Monokuma changes everything into the killing game, Hajime wanders back into his cabin and collapses in his bed. The next morning, Pekko fetches Hajime and Kazuichi. Seems like everyone is meeting at the hotel's restaurant. Byakuya gathers everyone, insisting they need to work together to go against Monokuma's wishes, and effectively elects himself as the group's leader, since no one else is willing to do it. He insists that he will keep everyone alive, then guides the group to Jabberwock. To
White.
Jabberwock Park. A Monokuma-shaped timer has replaced the statue. It looks like a bomb, but that is shot down by the group, as there's no real reason for whoever kidnapped them to delay the explosion. Byakuya also insists that a larger organization must be responsible for bringing them there and holding this killing game. After the group repeats their resolve to work together and we have a spot of free time, Monokuma brings everyone back to Jabberwock Park for a surprise comedy routine with Monomi. While waiting for the show to start, Fuyuhiko tells the group that he can do it. He receives immediate pushback, including from Byakuya, who insists he won't let anyone die. After ribbing her relentlessly, Monokuma reveals that the students' memories were erased, including the time they spent at Hope's Peak, directly referencing the twists from the first game. He also mentions that there's a traitor in their midst, as there are only supposed to be 15 students on the island, but there's 16. When nighttime is announced, the group retreats to their cabins once again and are asked by Byakuya to return to the restaurant in the morning. At the restaurant, Byakuya announces his plan for an all-night party to diffuse tension and ensure everyone cooperates with one another. The abandoned shack next to the restaurant is chosen as the location. Nagito has the group draw lots to determine who will clean, and Nagito ends up getting the unlucky task. Another free time session comes and goes. By the time night approaches, Hajime heads over to the shack and gets patted down by Byakuya. He's storing contraband items in one Duralumin chest, with the second reserved case that has unidentified contents for an emergency that Byakuya is keeping close to him. Byakuya eventually joins the group. The only one who refused to come was Fuyuhiko, and notices that several of the dishes have skewers in them. He marches you to the kitchen and ensures that all the utensils are stored in his case. One item appears to be missing, but since it seems like it was never there from the start, the pair forget about it. Byakuya also hints that his past involved distrusting others and being distrusted in return, but promises to tell you about it some other time. For added security, Pekko is instructed to guard the Duralumin case with all the weapons in the office room, and Chiaki watches out for Monokuma near the entrance. During the festivities, Nekomaru mentions that he tried to use the bathroom in the shack, but the door won't open. Two beeps sound in the room and everything goes pitch black. People yell out for one another, expressing their confusion, until the lights come back on and Mikan falls into a compromising position. Yakya is suddenly missing from the group. After confirming that he didn't leave the building, Akane smells blood and leads the group to the underside of a table. Yakya is dead, lying in a large pool of his own blood. And that's the daily life, basically.
Yeah.
Many such cases.
So, I wasn't expecting to like the fact that Akane is just a large dog, but, like, she is. She's really just a golden retriever. Like, that's just, she... That's just her.
Or bloodhound in this case.
I mean, I would imagine a dog. I mean, like, a dog can still sniff out murder if it's not a bloodhound.
Why are we talking about what breed of dog Akane would be?
Yeah, no, this is immediately us getting lost in the weeds.
Yeah.
I thought you two were supposed to keep us on track. What the hell?
Yeah.
I'm about to invite you to my abandoned shack party, but you know what? If you're going to be like this, maybe not.
Well, I want to go to the abandoned shack where everybody is closed off in a sealed environment for...
No, get your own.
Aw.
Wait. I think she's right. We should go to the abandoned shack where everybody's sealed off and nobody can see us.
So, to start with, I imagine the both of you are pretty psyched about Byakuya dying almost immediately.
Oh my god. That happened and I was like, yeah. Yeah. Like, I had quite a few good moments this... Yeah, fuck you, Inez. I had quite a few good moments this chapter. And one of them was Akane just shoving food in her mouth, and the other was Byakuya getting fucking owned and killed immediately. Fuck you, Byakuya, you stupid ass. That's what you get. I also got to say Pekko was cool, and I appreciate that a lot. That was a very good moment.
Pekko is cool.
Pekko's cool, but she's also very cute.
Yeah. I think we'll get into that when we get into the daily life section.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Pekko's my pity.
Yeah. So, before Byakuya is, like, murdered, he kind of appoints himself as a group leader, which is kind of like the opposite of his behavior from the first game.
Oh yeah, like, first game was, he was definitely like, oh, you know, you can never take charge of a group of people who are told to kill each other. Why would you even bother? I'm just gonna sit in the library and beat off for 6 hours. And and he comes back and he's like, oh, you know, all right, everybody, grab the dick of the person on your right. Let's do this together.
Make sure you're holding hands.
Yeah, they all hold hands and leave to the back. Byakuya's the first one. Like, Nekayama's like, oh, I have to shit. And Byakuya's like, okay, let's all hold hands and go to the bathroom together. This is our super despair high school life.
We all have to wash our hands together as well.
Yeah. But yeah, Byakuya is now the leader, and also that morning we get the first of Miken's many compromising positions, which is, I have to say, the first one isn't very funny, but the second one, in which the onomatopoeia is literally spread eagle and also she is covered by like a 3-course meal, is pretty funny to me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, this game is amazing. I have so many good memories with it. And then I play that part and it's like, oh, right. I recommend this to people, they have to get through this too, huh?
Well.
Is that a trademark awkward pause?
No.
Oh, not trademarked.
No, not really.
So
anyway.
Yeah. Big Monokuma-shaped, not bomb, giant countdown clock, which I like the countdown clock quite a bit, actually, because it immediately starts adding this second layer of tension of, like, what the fuck is going on with that clock.
I do like the fact that it could literally be counting down to nothing. And so people will still kill each other for it.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing about, like, the motive presented in this one is, like, all he, like, it doesn't even have to be true that something could happen with the countdown clock. It doesn't even have to be true that there's a traitor in their mix. It's just the idea of it has to exist.
Monokuma just says shit and people, like, immediately jump upon each other with knives. They just fucking descend upon each other.
Yeah.
So Byakuya dies. Everybody's freaking out. Mikan's bit, I don't know if I particular if I think I might be beginning to sour on it just a little bit.
Like, you mean
falling and ending up in compromising positions, like, okay, yeah, I once again I'm the horny one. Okay, yeah, whatever. But like at the same time it's a little too leery. Like it's a little like
I think it was funny the first time, but when they do it again, it's less haha and more oh, they're really horny for this character.
Yeah, like that's the thing about like a one-off like irony joke is that if you get too genuine with it, if you get to the point where you're like, oh, you know, now it looks like, you know, a bottle's fucking a dick that's coming on her. Haha. It's like, no, that's not like a joke anymore. That's just you drawing softcore porn. Like, that's just like, oh. And I wouldn't even say it's softcore porn. Like, it's not even like ambitious enough to be that. It's just kind of like, oh, you know, what if we put this character in a compromising position?
Yeah, fuck it's just fan service.
Like, yeah, it's lame fan service too, because you could have just done with that. Like, you could still have her trip in an impossible way, but it would be way funnier if her sprite just like rotated out of frame when she did it, just like endlessly, or like you just show her tripping on something, and then accelerate the sprite.
She like ends up in the rafters somehow.
Yeah, like you can.
That would
you
actually can, be pretty good.
Yeah, you could do some good ass goofs with a clumsy character. It's kind of disappointing that the goof is that you want is that they really want us to just blast the fuck out of her puss.
I think this is the only time it's the only time that they do this kind of goof with like for a good reason. Like,
it's not the only time.
Yeah, I did two daily life things with Mikan, and the second time was kind of just weird, gross sex stuff. Like this is a character that I really want to like. I really like her character design. It's just
Mikan's super fucking cute.
It's just that the game is like really unpleasantly horny for her, in like the creepiest way possible.
Yeah, it's like, and I think part of it is like the fact that it lines up with her being extremely timid and like the implications of like, oh, people have been really bad to her historically in her past. So yeah. like on some level that goes from like that plus like the leery angle is less engaging in the, oh, you know, I'm really hot for this character sense. It just feels like, you know, we're simultaneously supposed to have like, I would almost say like a parental-esque like perspective on this character, and then like on top of that they want us to be horny with this character. It's like, no, ew. It's like I almost want to say it's almost like horny art of like pre-time skip Bernadetta Fire Emblem, where it's like she's extremely like timid and shit, and on this and like so like all the shit that's like, oh yeah, you know, don't you want to bang her? It's like, not particularly. She's very much like, you know, she's very much like there's no way to have an emotionally healthy relationship with this individual. There's no way that it doesn't feel exploitative. Or there's no way where, like, you know, these scenes are very specifically like sexual in the sense of like that you are violating their agency. Actually, you know what? I could swear I had a good discussion with somebody on Twitter about this, specifically about the term, like, with the usage of lewd as a verb in, like, anime fandom circles. It's like, oh, you know, don't lewd the...
I don't want to say lowly, but like that's kind of the context.
Yeah, well, like, don't like you see lewd people talking character. About
like yeah like Kana from Dragon Maid, I guess.
Yeah,
would be like the archetypal example. Like
that's like the nightmare context we find ourselves in.
Yes, that's the thing is that like that entire specific like thing that they're going for, where they're trying to be like coquettish and still like extremely, you know, puss out with this. Is that like the lens through which they are viewing the lens through which we are made to view this character is exploitative, and we are sexualizing her, and she has no say in the matter within the fiction.
Yeah,
and that is profoundly uncomfortable, at least for me.
Yeah, and there's also a character whose whole thing seems to just be that. Like
I don't care who actually did the murder. I'm gonna blame Teru for it because if he dies, life is better for everyone.
At every possible turn, Teru is horny and seems to be about like a couple seconds from saying that he's going. Yeah, you know what? I'm not even gonna go there. It's just really gross and unpleasant.
Yeah, and it's like
Teru is like extremely. He's extremely a Mineta.
Like, and also the fact that like Akane has like these ridiculous titties and this ridiculous shirt that like doesn't really even fit her.
I don't know. I kind of like Akane and her titties.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
oh wait,
it's like
because it doesn't feel like a focus for Akane. At least like I feel like her big character trait that stood out for me at least was like, oh, she hungy. Like she's just
hungry constantly.
It feels like in every spite of hers, you're supposed to be looking at her titties.
Like I guess, but and that's entirely fair. Like that's a fair read. They definitely could have gone from a different angle. But on one hand, like I guess it doesn't hit me as hard as like the other aspects of the game because. You know, again,
like,
it's not really
like she's like not even wearing a bra.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, like, so Teru is terrible. We can agree with that.
Yeah, the Teru stands for terrible, and they just had to say it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, there is a. You have Kazuichi, who's, like, similar, but at the very least, he's less lurid about it. Like,
which one's Kazuichi?
He's the pink-haired one, the mechanic.
Oh, he doesn't seem to be very leery. He's just kind of like seems like easily cowed. Like he seems like the only scenes that I see from him are the like that I could think could be interpreted as such is him fawning over Sonya Nevermind, but like he fawns over her because she's a, you know, because she's elegant and princessly and he's just like a big sucker for that.
Yeah.
Not because he wants to just like not because he wants to cram his hand down her skirt. Like
what I guess what I mean is that I like the angle with Kazuichi because like he is a similar like he is a somewhat
he's a wife
pathetic
guy.
Yeah, he's a wife guy. He's somewhat he's pathetic. He's somewhat pathetic.
I can't fucking believe that. That's just what clicked for me. He's a fucking wife guy for her. That's his entire deal. He's like, oh shit, I love my wife, and she's like, I don't know you.
it's like Miss Sonya. I insist on calling you Miss Sonya.
He's in the Sonya fan club.
I think we all are in the Sonya fan club.
I think we're all
something like that.
I think I think the thing is, it would break some boundaries if there was a character like Teru, but he just did it to the boys. No, like, okay, that would still suck. But it would suck in a way that's at least it sucks for like at least men get to take a taste of getting ogled.
Yeah, but when you do that, you run the danger of doing a gay panic persona character.
Also, I don't trust this game to do that. Let's be honest, the game is
that's,
is still
I mean definitely
gonna,
not
the
in
game
this, definitely
is still
not
gonna
in
fuck it up and find a way to make it awful.
Definitely not in this game, but I feel like
Which,
if Ibuki just grabbed
good,
somebody's
but...
dick, like that would be turnabout is fair play.
Yeah. But so I am curious though about the characters that you hung out with though, because there are characters you seem to like quite a bit. So who did you hang out with during your daily, your free time?
And as you go first.
Ines?
Oh shit, she died. Okay, oh, no. So I'm gonna go first then.
Anyway, awkward pause.
No, okay, so the characters that I hang out with were, I chose Apeko, of course, because she's wife city to me. I chose Mikan. Oh, what's up?
Peko Yama.
Yeah, Peko's great. I chose her. I chose Mikan. I chose. I want to say Chiaki. I was going to say Chihiro, but that's not. That wasn't different an game. Option. Had to choose Chiaki. I picked Chiaki, and then I picked. I think I might have actually picked Peko twice, which love that. Gotta get that Peko. Gotta get that Peko. Peko rules. Like that doesn't need to be. That doesn't need to be like. I don't need to. I don't need to go into that. But you know what? I can and I will. Her like support. Her I keep calling them supports, but she's her first like.
So they're like social links.
Her first like social encounter, so to speak, is like, you know, you talk to her, and she's just not having it. Like, she's very much not a talk, like, she very much stonewalls you until you ask her about, like, kendo and shit. And she's like, oh yeah, you know, fuck kendo, I don't care. Like, I wield a sword for one reason and one reason only, and I'm good enough to do that, and I have no passion for doing anything else. And it's like, All right, that whips. And then she's like, but you know what else I have passion for? Soft, fluffy animals. And at that moment, I was like, you know what? This is $1 million to me. And she, so she's extremely a pet girl. She's a wife guy, but for pets. And then the second one, and then like towards the end of that one, you're like, oh, you know, I'm sure Gundam would let you like pet his hamsters. And she's like, oh, I should go look for him now. And she gives us like really like dipshit ass awkward smile, and it's like, she's great. This is $1 million right here.
Yeah, Peko is great.
Peko rules.
Yeah, like it's kind of the same way with Mikan, where I did two free time things with her. The thing you do to get her talking is you ask her what kind of bandages are her favorite.
What kind of bandages are her favorite?
I don't remember.
Fair enough.
I'm not sure she says which kind are her favorites. I could be wrong.
No, she says the non-elastic ones, like the fabric bandages are her favorites. And you know what? Those are my favorites too.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, they're good shit.
Yeah,
they taste like, delicious.
What?
Fuck, dude, I'm purple.
Okay.
Also, I hung out with Gundam, and his social link is cute. He talks about how he has two websites, one of which is like, which is like a magic website on like the dark web, and the other one,
yeah,
is about his hamsters.
Yeah,
his hamster blog, and also his dark magics.
Also, he likes pumpkins, and so do his hamsters.
Yeah, Gundam is great.
He's really good. I kind of liked him at first glance because he's voiced by Tomokazu Tsugita, and as y'all might know, I really like Tomokazu Tsugita. He's great in pretty much every role he's in.
Yeah, Tomokazu Tsugita whips.
Yeah, and he hams it up, like, so well in this role. Like, there's something very, like, there's something very charming and Chuny about Gundam, about how into his own bullshit
he is. I mean, his major character trait is that he is Chuny Byo. Like, that is his biggest deal. It's very good. It kind of whips how like, extremely shameful his actions are, but he's entirely unashamed to do them. I like that.
Yeah, and he keeps listing the names
out of him.
Yeah,
there's also a pretty great part. I think it's just like one of the canned lines that appears during the regular visual novel segments, but he like lists off the names of his hamsters, and it's pretty great.
I want the cosplay as Gundam, and at some point I need to like memorize the four Dark Davids of Destruction.
Yeah, there's Junpei and Sandy, but I'm blanking on the rest of them.
Hawk D, I think.
Hmm.
He names one of them Hawk, which is great. I remember one time at a convention, I saw a Gundam cosplayer, and he had the scarf, and sewn into the scarf were the four hamsters.
Oh, that's
okay.
Very good.
So I looked it up, and we've got Sandy, who's the orange and white one; Jumpy, who's the brown and white one; Magazy, which is the one with like the chipped ear; and Champy, which is the one that's big and orange.
Thank you very much.
It's very important.
It's very important.
This is important reporting we're bringing to you.
Yeah. Also very important are his interactions with Sonya. Because, like, Sonya is the only one that can get him to stammer and blush. And, like, it's really, really cute. Like, it's during one of the daytime scenes in which, like, Sonya is just amazed that the hamsters popped out of the scarf. And Gundam is just, like, blushing. Is like, he blushes with his whole body.
Also, yeah. I really like that it's taking his premise very lightly, which is, wow, hamsters came out of your scarf. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, just anyone showing him positive attention, but especially Sonya, makes him freeze up and be like, oh, this is nice.
Hey everyone, it's me, Kyrie. Thank you for listening to Ultimate Despair Reprise. I hope that you are enjoying this episode. I certainly had a lot of fun recording it in spite of my voice. I think I had come down with something before we had started recording. So that's why I sound a little different this episode. But anyway, that's not important. Let's do the shoutouts. Thank you, as always, to ScanlineMedia.com for hosting this podcast. Be sure to visit for more podcasts, articles, and our newly launched fiction section. There you can find fanfic and original works written by our Scanline folks. We are really excited about this, and we really hope that you take the time to read what we've written. We also want you to make sure to check out other podcasts like the Johto Quorum and our team up with Abnormal Mapping with Romance of the Two Networks. And hey, if you subscribe to our Patreon, you get access to the exclusive Oops All Anime. We got nearly 100 episodes of good anime content for you to check out. And all it takes is $1 a month to access. Just $1 a month. You get access to all these episodes. I've been on a couple of them. So, yeah, go ahead and check that out. Go to scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia for more information. Also, thanks as always to Vetron for providing the music for the episodes. Be sure to check out youtube.com/VTMprojects for the remixes from Fire Emblem Three Houses, My Hero Academia, and Splatoon 2. They also have original music with Hatsune Miku, and Hatsune Miku's so hot right now. Give their remixes a listen. They are hot fire, people. Again, that is Vetrom at youtube.com/VTMprojects. So, one last quick announcement. The homework for next episode is still a little up in the air, since we're still figuring out how to approach how big of a game Danganronpa 2 is compared to Danganronpa 1. So we'll announce on the Twitter. Remember to follow at @udespaircast before the episode goes up, which section we'll cover. So, again, thank you for your patience with us and sticking through us through these episodes. We love working on this show for you, and we can't do it without you, without your support, and we really appreciate everything that you do. Anyway, that's it from me. Enjoy the rest of the episode, and I'll talk to you next time. So, Jen, who did you hang out with?
So, I hung out with Mikan, I hung out with Chiaki, and I also hung out with Byakuya a little, just because I knew that he was going to end up...
He was going to beef it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... And his reactions are pretty... It's interesting, because I feel like, in terms of... they do a decent job of suggesting that there might be something slightly different to him this time, aside from the weird weight jokes. Because, like, his main conversation with you when you hang out with him is, what is your body weight? You don't even know your fat weight. If you don't know this, then you will... You're so slim, you will not survive the winter, and stuff like that. And it's like,
Yeah, it's pretty miserable.
Yeah, but... I honestly think the best interaction you have with him before he dies is in the kitchen, where he gets real personal for a moment, and basically he's like,
"Yeah,
I don't really have many friends the way that I live my life, so I'm trying to make up for it in some way."
Yeah, like, I feel like with this version of Byakuya, they could do the same thing and have him be overweight or whatever and not make fat jokes about it. It could just be...
Yeah, it's extremely disappointing.
Yeah, it's like, it could just be he gained weight and that's about it, and not to constantly call attention to it.
Yeah, like, Danganronpa at its best whips. Danganronpa at its worst is kind of tedious. Kind of very tedious.
Yeah, other than that, Chiaki was kind of fun to hang out with, just because she gets into very hashtag gamer talk, which is incredibly funny to me. Like, she's like, oh, gaming, it's something to me. I guess it's not really something I do. It's like my life. Or is life my game? I don't know.
We live in a society.
Chiaki, rise up.
They made a movie about that.
We are not going to bring that discourse into here.
Oh, well, we have Danganronpa discourse. We don't need that discourse.
They made a video game about that, I think.
Yeah,
what
it's called.
What
if gamers ruled the world?
What if Chiaki is inside of a video game?
Damn.
What if she's the Ready Player One protagonist of Danganronpa?
Oh, fuck off.
What if she was Ernest Cline's self insert?
Podcast around, and I will crash it into the fucking sea.
No, you won't, Inez. Now that's something I not do before
you,
I can do,
you,
do it.
Do you want to try me? Do you want to see how fast I can turn this podcast around and crash it into the sea?
Out of curiosity,
you already, like you, if you try and crash this podcast into the sea, you will crash into the sea first.
Out of curiosity, where do you think Jackie got the Space Invaders carpet?
Definitely aren't helping me, Jackie.
Probably same place she got the Space Invaders pin.
Would you rock a Space Invaders carpet?
No. Why would I? Why would anyone ever put that in their house?
Why would you wear that?
Why would you invade space?
Yeah, it's just silly.
The one place uninfected by capitalism.
All right, Tim Curry.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were here, Tim Curry.
Thank you for having me on here. I'm Tim Curry. I was in Clue, you know. This game is like Clue.
And that never happens.
That is a thing you can say.
Yep.
That is a thing, I guess.
Oh.
So, what were you going to say, Jen?
I was just going to say this was early social time, but I kept going over to talk to Ibuki Miyota whenever I could. So I got the line where she's like, good nom nom nomming. By the way, this is going to be the new greeting everyone uses, and I'm going to make it the greeting everyone uses. And it's kind of cute in this hyper-energetic sort of sense, but also, if I ever went up to someone and said good nom nom nomming, I think they would hate me for life.
I hate you already.
Oh, damn. That's me.
Whoa, that's me.
I mean, Jennifer has told us about the shit guy and Ahoge Musk, but still, that... I'm not sure I'm there yet.
Ahoge Musk? Isn't that the guy who runs a Tesla?
Something like that.
Sorry, the guy who runs SpaceX. He's the guy. Well, I guess he's gonna run Tesla.
Yeah, he's gonna be the one that infects space with capitalism.
And Musk.
Didn't America already fuck like space up? I'm gonna be real. Like, the Soviet Union definitely won the space race, but like the U.S.
keeps pretending that it did.
I mean, the U.S. has definitely won the propaganda war with regards to like, you know, capitalism versus communism. Like, it's very unfortunate. Not a particular focus of this series.
Yeah. What were we talking about again?
I'm talking about Tim Curry, I think. Doesn't he play football?
I know in Symphogear Axis he gets killed.
He gets murdered by Saint Germain, yes, we know that. But
yeah, that's
a different podcast.
Actually,
altogether.
You know what? Yeah, you fucking Symphogear ended recently. What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
I'm so upset. We're not getting another season?
Yeah. Anyway, it's time to drive this podcast into the ocean and come out.
We already have
Symphogear Mermaid.
Should I tell you who I hung out with?
Yes, please.
I hung out with Byakuya and Kazuichi. So for Byakuya, like I said, it's this bad mix of fat jokes, but then also like really decent like character work. Because he says things along the lines of, like, listen, as long as I'm around, you will know peace. Like, he's very committed to this leadership position that he has appointed.
Extremely aware that he's going to be the first to get murdered.
Oh, yeah, death flags popping off every which way.
Byakuya is just fucking... One of his conversations is he, like, comes up to you and is like, wow, you know, once we get off this island, I have a girl back home that I can't wait to marry.
Yeah, like the only thing that could signal it more is if he had like a dead anime mom haircut.
Yes. No. Somebody draw this. Somebody draw Byakuya with a dead anime mom haircut, turning to fucking not Makoto 2. I can't be asked to remember this new guy's name. I'm sorry.
Hajime.
Talking to Harold. Talking to fucking Harold. I don't care. I don't care what his name is.
Talking to Nagino Komeda.
Talking to Komeda. So, new Byakuya, anime mom haircut, talking to Komeda, turns to him, says, you know, I can't wait to, you know, once we get off this island, I can't wait to marry my wife. And also, like, any other death flag you can fucking imagine. What are some more famous death flags?
I don't know. The dead anime mom haircut is definitely probably the biggest one that I can think of.
2 weeks from retirement.
2 weeks.
Retirement.
He's gonna retire from being the head of the Togami Zaibatsu.
He's like, oh yeah, you know, I can't wait to retire from being the head of the Togami Zaibatsu. Marry my fiance.
Can't wait to get my pension.
Get my pension.
So Kazuichi is kind of like, he's an affable like dork. I think the first time I played through this game, I didn't warm up to Kazuichi, but now this playthrough, I actually really enjoy him. You get this great line like with the daily life. I spent time with Kazuichi today while he kept putting his foot in his mouth. Like, he's just constantly saying stuff that is, like, gets him mocked, but he's just kind of himself. And he talks about he was really excited to go on a school trip, because he was going to go on a school trip in middle school, but he stayed home. His dad didn't exactly like that. And he talks about how he became a good mechanic, and how his current thing is he misses the scent of oil because he is working on a motorcycle back home. So Kazuichi is just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, he's charming to me this time around.
Yeah,
Kazuichi really like him.
Also, that like scream he makes is really funny.
Yeah. Oh God, he's really funny. Like, I think that's the thing, is that they kind of realized after the first game that like every character kind of does need a bit that makes them immediately endearing. Because if you don't hook somebody on them, they're gonna just immediately turn around and be like, oh, I don't care about this guy. Like Nekomaru, I don't fucking care what happens to him.
You don't care. You don't care.
He's the shit guy.
He
gets
shit
his pants.
The guy that Jen likes. I don't care what happens to him.
Yeah.
I do want him to die, actually. Not like a tragic death scene. I want him to just get shot or something. Like, he just stands up and like is like, hey, Monokuma, don't shoot me. And Monokuma's like, fuck you, idiot. You shit off.
So
what I would be worried about
who shits and pisses is, all over the place. I'm done with him.
What I would be worried about is when he dies, he like shits his pants one last time.
Jen, you were saying.
I was just going to say that I feel like Nekomaru gets better as the chapters go on, because his interactions with Akane kind
Does
of balance
he shit
both characters.
Any less?
He talks about it less because he's more focused on other things. Like
he focuses on training her, basically.
Yeah, him and Akane are basically have this weird sort of back and forth sort of apprehension toward one another, and that goes in interesting directions.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like, it's just that team manager side of him being like, I want to manage this intentionally wild person, and Akane is this wild person who doesn't even follow her own routine, so I imagine that frustrates him on some level.
Yeah.
I feel kind of guilty for how much I've forlorn all the Nagito stuff, because I feel like he gets super interesting very, very soon, And it's kind of a shame that the internet has more or less outed him as the weird one. But,
yeah. I mean, like, I feel like from the beginning you can tell he's kind of a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he's kind of got some weird vibes to him from the start.
Like, we don't know what he does specifically, but, like, even that, like, he still strikes me as a fucking weirdo. Like,
he's like perfectly affable. It's just it's just that some of the things he does are kind of shady.
Yeah,
he like even detached from like the like internet's like warping of Nagito's character, I think that it's still one of those things of like, you still don't know exactly what his deal is. And I think they do a lot of really good stuff to foreshadow a lot of interesting things about him. Especially, I think the big main one is like, oh, he's voiced by Megumi Yogata. And it's like, that's a weird thing because, like, especially with Japanese video games, you don't typically have like voice actors like voicing two major characters like in a series unless there is something up with that. Like the same thing happened in Persona 4 where I forget who voiced the main character in Persona 4, but like there's a reason that Adachi is voiced by the same voice actor. And they kept that in the English dub of Persona 4 as well.
Yeah, it's a clever narrative tool, and I'm excited to see it pay off very, very soon. And, let's see. I did kind of like how they didn't even beat around the bush with the whole memory thing, and they immediately got it out there being like, oh yeah, by the way, this happened to you, and
yeah.
Isn't it kind of cliche or something like that?
Yeah, I'm so glad that the game was like, oh, you know, you've already been through the first game. Otherwise, why would you get the sequel? You know what the deal is. And it just immediately says it. Like, it just...
Yeah.
Like, there, it gets the characters up to speed with the player.
Yeah, like, there was honestly zero subtlety about it in the last game. So it's kind of nice for them to just say it this time.
Last game, there was zero subtlety about it, but
they still presented it like a mystery.
Yeah. Also, I mean, even if they were subtle, like, you're kind of doomed to figure it out before the characters. So, like, watching them grope around in the dark about this specific, like, plot thread would be horrific.
Yeah, for the first game, you could save that for, like,
yeah,
the ending.
Yeah, like, for the first game, it was like, well, okay, yeah, you know, you could save it for the ending for them to discover specifically what's up. But, like, for the second game, at very least, no. If Hajime had to spend, like, 15 minutes more going, oh no, what's going on? And not, like, knowing what happened to him, I feel like it would be, like, every minute he would spend not aware, not working with the same knowledge as the player, where we had to is a minute where we have to play dumb to kind of match up, and it's extremely unfun to play dumb for a video game.
Yeah, and it also lets the game narratively move on to the more interesting mysteries at hand.
Yep.
Like, why are they here? Like, how did they lose their memories? What memories did they lose? Like, what is going on broadly, was going on with Monomi, because I do love how Monokuma implicates Monomi as well about, like, she's the one who took away your memories and she doesn't exactly deny it, which, I mean, everybody dunks on Monomi as well, which is really fun.
Yeah. It's a situation where she just shows up and being like, hey, can I help? And they're like, no, we just called you to get this very specific question answered. Now please go away.
Yep.
I do want to shout out that during the comedy routine act between Monomi and Monokuma, your white mouse button turns to a laugh track button.
Wait, really?
Oh, you didn't catch that?
No, I didn't. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's fucking great. In the upper left corner of the screen.
They don't draw attention to it, but it's there.
Oh, that's so lame. I didn't use it.
Yeah, the upper left corner, it shows like a button.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's really good. That's fucking great. Holy shit. That's $10,000 to me.
Yeah, I especially enjoy how you can continue using it while they're explaining the memory stuff and the music changes. So you can just keep hitting the laugh button while they're being like, oh, by the way, all of your happy memories got removed. Isn't that amazing?
But yeah, the laugh track button is, like, such a fucking good touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a lot more subtle than I would have expected from this game. Because frequently it seems like when this game has a joke, it kind of beats you over the head with it.
Yeah, it kind of kicks you in the dick with the joke and tells you to laugh. Right. Yeah.
So, out of curiosity, since we're about near the end of this, who do you think did the murder? Because the murder is way less obvious in this, like, the first murder in Danganronpa 1 was like, oh, it's Leon, clearly.
Yeah, they spelled his name out in the blood in the first
case. Yeah, it was, like, totally bad.
That was a tutorial to format. That was very much a format tutorial, though, so I can kind of forgive it. Like, Danganronpa 1's first, like, execution was very much like here is how the system works. Don't worry about actually solving the problem, because what you need to concern yourself with is understanding the nuance of the mechanics. And I can respect that. This game doesn't need to have that, so it launches into an actual murder the first time. I kind of like that. I think Teru did it, because I fucking hate the little bastard. also, I feel like first of all, he's been in denial at the very beginning. And also, like, Byakuya and him, like, they seem to have bad blood at the very, like, when they were talking in the kitchen, like, very much, like, you know, getting on each other's nerves. And I feel like Teru is the first mother, like, he thinks with his dick, he's very much first going to, like, you know, kill Byakuya because, hey, gotta kill somebody to get off, and this shit's all fake, who cares? I'm just gonna do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was probably Teru as well, because that's also like when Byakuya is like, there's like a list of supplies that should be in the kitchen in the old hotel,
yeah,
and Byakuya notices that they're short one skewer.
Yeah, and Teru would know, and I feel like
after the lights go out, I don't think Teru is there.
Yeah. No, yeah, the lights go out and I think he's in the kitchen. But the night vision goggles that we found near Byakuya's corpse are weird. What's up?
I think that was the stuff that was in like his emergency box or whatever. Cause I think there was stuff like that in the supermarket. There's like a display with all that crap.
There's a display of like goggles and gear and survival gear.
Yeah.
So it was like Byakuya's secret plan to kill? Or to kill somebody? Who knows?
Well, no, I think Byakuya's plan was actually sincere. Like, he didn't want anyone to die, so he was taking a lot of precautions.
Fair enough.
Yep. All right. Take as many precautions as you can to make sure people don't die and you're the one who beefs it. That's the other death flag. Is like the most prepared guy or in the most like competent person in the room is the like most likely to die first.
I don't know if I would go as far as to say Byakuya is competent.
I
don't know.
He's trying, I guess.
He's giving us a solid 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're in the other room trying to murder Byakuya, Jackie.
What? I didn't murder anybody.
Gotta go wash my hands.
I gotta go wash my hands. I was touching corpse. I mean, raw chicken. I mean,
I was touching raw corpse.
I was touching raw corpse. I hadn't cooked it yet. I was touching a carcass. No, not a man carcass. Why would you ever think that?
Here are these large chunks of meat. Don't ask about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, don't ask any questions about the large meat on bone.
Meat on bone.
Meat on bone.
The giant fucking monster hunter meat on bone.
It's so good. Long meat on bone. Round meat, comma, on bone.
I've always... That's a...
Round meat on bone.
Round meat
more.
On... Round meat.
The saddest story in 6 words.
So, any final thoughts about this chapter before we wrap up?
I feel like this is the strongest chapter 1 in the entire series, so I'm really excited to see what y'all think as it plays out, and it moved a lot better than I anticipated, or at least remembered, just because I feel like they do a decent job of giving you a bunch of mysteries right from the get-go, and
yeah, they recap the, like, I can really respect that they recap the entire first game, essentially, and then they go, okay, here's a host of other shit that you have to figure out. Like, here's a problem that you still have to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, also, for instance, what the fuck are those giant mecha that Monokuma has?
Oh yeah, we haven't really touched on the mono beasts, sadly.
Yeah, they're giant fucking mecha in this series, and we have not touched down on them. Oh well, we'll save that for next episode.
Yeah, that's normal.
That's normal. Watch Symphony,
you see
I guess.
It all the time.
I guess the only thing left to do is watch the entirety of the hit anime Senki Zesho Symphogear on Crunchyroll.com.
Well, actually, I would recommend the Kami subs since they're completely insane.
But they're that's fair. The Kami subs are better, but also, like, I was going to say, please watch it like in a legal venue because I don't want us to get assassinated.
Just watch it again.
Just watch the series on television if you can. I don't know.
Hook your computer up to your TV.
Watch it through a legal venue so a deep web hitman doesn't end your fucking life.
Well,
Gundam's deep web, like, turns out he's just, like...
It's already too late for me, if that's the case.
Gundam's just uploading pirated subs.
My biggest fear is that I'm going to be recording this and we're going to be talking and I'm going to get shot in the back of the fucking head by the deep web hitman that's getting my ass because I torrented Symphogear.
Yeah,
I gotta.
I've got good news about Gundam's website, and I've got bad news. The only thing that he fan subs are is Hamtaro. So great news if you like Hamtaro.
But he fan subs it with death metal lyrics.
No, it's a pretty good sub of Hamtaro.
Yeah, it just incorporates death metal lyrics whenever he can. Listen, I know I've watched all of his Hamtaro videos. They are
Gundam takes Hamtaro extremely seriously. You have to understand.
He would take Hamtaro extremely seriously.
So it's not his fault that his interpretation of Hamtaro involves death metal. I'm sorry.
And his Kimoto friends sub as well.
He hasn't delivered on those.
Gundam just loves those ham hams. He's got to get them.
As the sage Hamtaro says, when we work together, it's much better.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you think Tomokazu Sugita has ever said ham hams?
Probably. If not, if he comes to an anime convention in the United States, we need to get him to say ham hams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this chapter moved along at a really nice, brisk pace, and I really liked it, and I am so excited for the trial, because there are so many new, like, really interesting and fun surprises during the trial. Like, it works really well. Alright. If we don't have any other thoughts... next week, or next time, your homework is to, one, draw Byakuya with the dead mom haircut and as many death flags as you can pin to his corpse. Also, we decide exactly if we're going to do two episodes or one on Deadly Life.
I would say two. I would just do like a recorded later thing that says what the plan is.
Yeah, okay.
Since if we say it now, there's no reason to say it now.
We'll
figure it out.
Yeah, I'll edit around it.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I spaced all the way out. I'm sorry.
Nah, it's all good. Exactly. It's all good. Just your homework, everybody, is just to draw Byakuya with the dead mom haircut with Hajime.
Also,
busting fat nut.
Gundam has like a GeoCities page that's like completely covered. All right,
enough about Gundam's fucking GeoCities page. And as I'm so tired,
no, fuck you. This is what I'm talking about.
God, you're worse than Danganronpa with these jokes.
Well, everybody, I've been your host, Kyrie.
I've been Jackie Platinum. Assume I have dignity, please. Please, I beg of you.
I have been and will continue to be Jennifer.
I'm Inez, and please, God, help me get out of this crazy thing. Help me get out of this machine I'm trapped in.
Let her rot. Let her rot. Let it go. Just let it happen.
I'm like Buster Keaton in here. It's not great.
I'll bust your Keaton.
Class dismissed, right. Everybody.
Yeah, see ya around, folks.
Hit record.
Oh, okay, get out of here, Joseph Gordon.
Is everybody recording?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all recording.
Okay. No, I'm just playing a practical joke on.
Okay.
On.
I don't mind if Inez's audio track doesn't get
recorded. On. Harry.
This could be our Inezless episode.
Great.
Yeah, I'm gonna get Andy to like overdub my lines.
We should get Andy to overdub
just like
all
send
of our
that
lines.
In without saying anything.
We should get Andy to overdub all of our lines so it just sounds like her talking to herself the whole episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody sells her.
I'm scared about what I would sound like if a bunch of words would be put in my mouth or something.
You kind of put enough words in your own mouth, Jennifer.
Yeah, Jen.
I'm Jennifer.
You pretty much exclusively
I don't know anything
say horrible
about
shit. I am Ahoge Musk. I am legitimately always surprised by stuff that Jen says, and never in a good way. It's just like, oh, well, I guess I'll have to suffer through this.
I thought it meant stinky.
Musk does mean stinky. Mm. It's just...
Jen, oh my god.